Welcome everyone to ILTA's Spring 2016 Ask the Expert podcast series. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and this time around we'll be discussing the innovative developments made by some of ILTA's 2015 Distinguished Peer Award finalists. Davis Wright Tremaine received the award for Innovative Law Firm of the Year, and today we're speaking with Andy Peterson, the Innovative Solution Strategist for DWT De Novo. Thank you for being here, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to start with you giving us a brief overview of the work that qualified you as a Distinguished Peer Award finalist.
You know, it's interesting, I think, in terms of the story that we had to tell last year, is that we were pretty new into the innovation space. There are obviously, you know, a lot of firms that are doing innovative things, depending on how you kind of define innovation. But, you know, we have been in this game for a pretty short amount of time. Some of the stuff that I was working on with Lawton Penn, who's now our client service and engagement partner, she had employment work that she needed help with. She wanted to provide service to clients in new ways about 4 years ago. She needed just a person to help her execute. And I came over from marketing to help her. Some of that stuff became some of the things that now we tout as part of our initiative and we sell to clients. But really, 4 to 5 years ago is when Davis Wright decided to make a decision to do this. And De Novo itself is barely 2 years old. So DWT De Novo is our innovation team within Davis Wright Tremaine, a group of individuals who have been pulled out of the regular portion of the firm. And this is what we do all day, kind of the R&D lab within the firm. So De Novo started about 2 years ago. And when we put ourselves up for the award last year, we kind of thought, you know what, we've seen some of the other winners of the award, Brian Cave, certainly Littler and Seyfarth. You know, these were the firms that when we were trying to convince lawyers at Davis Wright that we should have an innovation team, we were talking about what these firms were doing. And we thought, you know, aspirationally, we want to be up there with these guys. And so we applied for the award. Certainly we were new, but we had a lot of different things we could talk about, a pretty good story we could tell. We made the finals with Littler and Seyfarth. And to us, that was sort of like, you know, we just gotten where we wanted to be a lot quicker than we thought. And so then when it came down to going up and giving the presentation and trying to actually win the award, it was a really cool experience to get up and talk about all the things we were doing. I think part of maybe why we got picked is because we were new and people weren't as familiar with us and were impressed with what they were doing because they don't have a lot of expectations about a firm from up in Seattle. But it was a really cool experience, and it kind of skyrocketed things internally. A lot of our partners that maybe hadn't worked with us and weren't super aware of us and had kind of preconceived notions about us, you know, once we won an award and had this external acknowledgement, all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, can you work with my clients? Can you work on my project? It really changed things for us when we won the award.
So you did kind of touch on this, but this brings me to my next question. How has innovation driven success at your firm? It sounds like you're getting more involved in clients, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting because we really started as an internal improvement group. There were pockets of us, like I say, I come from the marketing side, just friends of mine who work here who were in accounting or HR or IT 5, 6 years ago. We used to sit down for lunch and say, I've got these things I'm working on. I feel like I'm recreating the wheel every time. Or, you know, why do we keep doing it this way? And there's got to be a better way. I wish I could fix this thing, but I'm spending too much time doing it. I can't sort of step back and do that. So we'd been having conversations in these little pockets of the firm for some time. And when we started De Novo, we threw open the doors and said, you now have a place to take those ideas. We will help you facilitate places where you feel like you're recreating the wheel, or there's a process that's broken, or clients are asking for something different. We were afraid we wouldn't get anything, right? We were afraid we wouldn't hear a word, it would go silent, we would fail immediately. That was not the case. We had lots and lots of ideas come in from all over the place, and they were all over the map in terms of what the ideas were. And what we quickly learned was the most effective, the most successful ideas were the ones where an attorney had heard from a client about something. And maybe that seems obvious to folks, but it was a shift in our mindset from being kind of an internal improvement comment box kind of approach to having attorneys say, man, you know, my clients have been asking me for things, and I'm not sure how to help. It's sort of legal, but it's not really. There's kind of this business help they need, or they need process help, or they need alternative staff. And we have, over these now 27-ish months, you know, we've changed our focus to being where we really are client focused in a lot of ways. I'm working on pretty big engagements for pretty big companies, some of whom we'd never worked with before until we started having these different kind of conversations with them. Not just how good of lawyers we are, because we do have excellent lawyers, but lots of firms have excellent lawyers, but that we can do a little bit something different. We can provide service to you in a different way. We can provide transparency in our relationship, something that all your firms should provide for you, but most of them don't. We have tools to help do that. And so we've had to change our strategy and kind of adjust our North Star, as we call it, over time, because we're seeing more and more opportunity in different areas, and we've kind of had to pivot. So it's been really interesting to see where we are now, as opposed to going back to notes from some of our initial meetings 2 years ago and saying, wow, I can't believe we even did that that way. And now today, we're just kind of in this whole different level. So it's a lot of fun, and we're creating new opportunities every day, which is a really cool place to be.
How do you champion innovation within your organization?
My old boss used to say, people don't know anything about anything. So you think that you've told somebody something 10 times, assume they don't know. And the experience that we had, especially early, is to each individual attorney. We have 500 lawyers, across the country, and a handful in Shanghai. And depending on what interaction we had had with a lawyer, that was their understanding of what de novo did. What does de novo do? It was different things to different people based on the experience that they had with us. And there were some people we've never worked with. There are lots of people we've never worked with. There are, on our team, we have Jay Hull and Lawton Penn, who are two partners who we've taken out of the machine to just work on innovation virtually full time. And then there's four staff people, including myself. And so we're a very small team. We've not grown in the 2+ years that we've been around. So we're a small team. We can't work with everybody. And for a long time, we were worried about, okay, well, how do we engage all these other people? How do we engage everybody in the firm? And eventually we just realized it happens kind of virally. You don't really need, at least in our circumstance, you don't need to identify like innovation ambassadors to go out and speak on your behalf. That was something we tried. It didn't really resonate. You don't need to necessarily open the gates to everybody. That was something we did at the beginning, and we realized you get a lot of ideas that were sort of half thought out ideas, or people would send us something and then they would sort of wash their hands of it. I gave it to de novo, so it's fine. At the end of the day, what we found allows us to really kind of have this virally go through the firm is we work on big projects with big teams. And if you've got, say, five attorneys on a team working with a particular client, and they're working with me or with Michael Callier or Kate White, my colleagues, they'll go back and work with a different team on a sort of de novo project, and they'll say, well, why are we doing it this way when I'm not working with de novo? But when I'm working with de novo, I'm working on this particular thing, we're doing it a whole different way that's better. And so then they start to take the experience that they've had when we've been able to work directly with them, and they start applying it in these other groups of work that they're doing. And so, the best way to promote innovation is to have success in innovation. And we haven't had to ask people to go talk about us or be positive about us. We just have really good interactions with them. And then when they go work with other groups, they start to pull in some of those ideas and approaches that we take. So I'd say it's happened pretty organically. It helps to have won an award. It helps to have landed some pretty big client engagements, because then, word gets around. But, I don't feel like I'm championing or pushing de novo a lot these days. I feel like it's just sort of happening.
Now, on a bit of a more serious note, how do you balance the desire to innovate with the necessity for securing your environment?
We take security very seriously. And a lot of times what we're doing, and a lot of firms are doing this, is we're looking at data across entire portfolios of matters. We have a program called DWT Insight, which takes a look at certain pre-litigation employment matters. And rather than treating them as these one-off individual matters that come in and we do the investigation and we provide the response and you send it back to the agency or to the lawyer, and for the most part they go away or you end up settling it for something and that's about it. Instead of treating those as one-offs, particularly for clients who may get 100 or more of these in a year, we look at the entire portfolio. We try and find trends and hotspots and where can you have additional training might make a really big difference and make a dent in this to bring down your both your risk and then the number of claims and therefore the cost that you face over time. But collecting all that data in one place certainly makes clients nervous, and it makes our lawyers nervous. So we take security very, very seriously. We have a chief security officer who's about the most serious person I've ever met. He's exactly the kind of guy that you want to have in that role. Our security folks have been great about being coming up with creative solutions to things. You know, people aren't saying no to me a lot. You just got to really partner with the folks who know that area well. So, you know, our job is to push the envelope in de novo. Our job is to look for new opportunities and say how, not kind of why not, and look for ways that we can push things a little bit. And we just have to be real careful to make sure that I'm keeping our privacy attorneys as well as our kind of security department in the loop so that we don't have trouble. I tell you what, there are certain things where clients have said, what happens if we fire you guys? Which I don't think happens very often, but what happens to our data? And I always say, well, we'll turn it back to you in an Excel document. I'm not sure what you're going to do with it, but you can have it back, certainly. We work with a lot of banks, and they'll do security audits of us. And we make sure to keep a lot of our systems that are particularly secure, we have them in-house. They're not out in the cloud, even though the cloud is very secure, but it makes clients nervous. So we make sure to have things in place to keep control and make sure that everything's going the way we expect it to be so that people don't start saying, well, you can't push the envelope and you can't advance the ball because of these kinds of concerns.
My final question is, what keeps you awake at night, either from excitement or trepidation?
It's interesting. I mean, I have both excitement and trepidation. I think there's so much opportunity. I think that I have trepidation that we're going to miss something that's fun or particularly cool because of something else that we're working on. That really comes down to staffing. You know, other firms who have done similar things know that once you create something, you don't leave it and move on to the next thing. So if you create a program that's great with a client, you sell it to a couple other clients, you don't just stop doing it. It doesn't make sense. It's got to live on, you know, as long as the client wants it to. And so now that we are 2+ years into this, we've created a lot of stuff. We have great relationships with some great clients. You know, it's important to be able to hand those programs off to people to manage them so that folks like myself and Kate and Michael can go out and find out what the next big thing is, what the next client opportunity is, and what the next program is. So from a staffing perspective, we're looking to staff up at this point, both in kind of what I call program managers, people to take like the Insight program that I talked about, you know, a contract procurement program that we have that's really mature and very cool, and really run those things, keep them going, find more clients to work with them so that we are more than just a group that does two or three things. So I got a little bit of trepidation just about from a staffing perspective, and there are not a lot of folks who do what we do in law firms. There's just not a huge market. It's different than product managing, you know, it's different than a lot of things that are maybe easier to find. So definitely there's a staffing component that I think we need to work on. But that also just comes from excitement. I mean, we've got a opportunity right now where one of our DWT clients has asked Kate White, my colleague and I, to help them create an innovation initiative within their organization. It's not a law firm. We've been having conversations with them over the past almost year in various reasons, and it kind of came down to now they've got some funding and they want to do what we have done inside Davis Wright. They want to do it inside their organization, and they're asking us to help them. And that is not anything that 2 years ago we ever would have envisioned. You know, we have the perfect experience to do it, and we're super excited. The organization is amazing. I can't wait until we can talk about all this. But, you know, that's a very different thing for a law firm staff to provide. And so those kind of opportunities that we never expected are coming up, and that's very cool. So I think the excitement level is just I'm getting to work with big clients, cool clients, different projects, stuff that people wouldn't expect law firms to provide. You know, for someone who started out as a temp 8 years ago, to see kind of cool stuff I get to do now, it's been really exciting.
Quite the ride, yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like we have some cool things to look forward to, so I'll keep an eye out for that. But that brings our time to an end, so I'd like to thank our listeners and encourage them to listen to the other podcasts on this topic. And Andy, we really appreciate you sharing your time and input. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.